me to teach you the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord God of your ancestors promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. The second reading is Psalm 78. And in the Red Bibles, that is starting on page 914. My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so that the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God. I would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. They would not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation, whose hearts were not loyal to the Lord, whose spirits were not faithful to him. And the final reading is from 2 Timothy, chapter 2. Starting at verse 1 on page 1851. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. This is God's word.
Thanks for that, Lindsay. That's great. Let me pray as we come to look at God's word together. Father, thank you for the amazing privilege we have to be able to hold your words in our hands. Thank you that you've revealed yourself, and we pray this morning that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher, that you'd give us ears to hear, hearts that are open to receive, what you have to say to us. Help us to listen attentively and have ready wills to put into practice what you say. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have heard it said, the church is only ever one generation away from extinction. The church is only ever one generation away from extinction. If we, this current generation, fail to pass on to the next generation the faith that's been entrusted to us, the church will die out. Now that sounds pretty dramatic. Of course, it's true at a number of levels. The human race is only ever one generation away from extinction. If we stop reproducing, humanity will die out. So for the church, and it's worth thinking about, just as with the human race, the only way the church can survive is if it multiplies, if it reproduces. If we simply hold on to what we've got, simply guard the truth that we've been given, if we have a focus on being pure and orthodox and kind of have a maintenance mode of operation, then we will not survive beyond this generation. On Sundays at the moment, we're going through a series of teaching, thinking about being a community that's shaped by the gospel. And this morning, we're thinking about being a community that passes on the baton. Think about a relay team. I don't know if you watched the Olympics. Think about a 4x100 relay team. In that team, it's not just about being quick, is it? The relay team practices again and again the changeovers. Each runner needs to make sure that they pass on the baton to the next runner. That they concentrate on making sure the next runner has got a secure hold of the baton, otherwise it's all over. So we as a church need to give attention to passing on the baton to the next generation, passing on the faith that has been entrusted to us. Here at Barneys, we want to be a church that teaches and trains and nurtures the next generation. We want to be a church that really values the children that God has given us and brought into our community. We want our kids to know that they're core members of this church, and we want to give them plenty of opportunity to really understand the Christian faith, to grapple with their questions, as Holly was saying, and to give them all the support and encouragement that they need to live and serve the Lord Jesus in their daily lives. We've baptized Abigail this morning as a sign of her membership in this community. And her parents and godparents, in fact, all of us have said that we're going to do all that we can to encourage and nurture her in the life and faith of the Christian community. We've prayed that Abigail will grow up as a disciple of Christ, loving and serving God until her life's end. And that is our prayer for all our children. Our mission as a church certainly reaches beyond these walls, beyond the members of our community. And most of what I say this morning is going to apply to all our missional endeavors. But this morning our focus is on our children and what is involved in passing on the baton to them. So we're going to spend a bit of time looking at Psalm 78, those verses that were read earlier. If you want to follow along, it's on page 914 in the Red Bibles. Page 914, Psalm 78. These verses are all about passing on the life-changing truth of God. I want to draw out five quick things about what that will involve. Firstly, it'll involve telling them about God. Let me read again from verse 1. My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things we've heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord. Asaph, the writer, has a concern that the next generation hears and knows about God. Let me ask you, if you're a parent, what do you want your kids to know? Maybe you want them to know about your family, their ancestors, where they've come from, who they are. Maybe you want them to know about how to live, to have good manners, right behavior, to be a good citizen in society, to be wise in handling money, that sort of thing. Maybe you want them to know how to read and write and do arithmetic, to learn how to solve problems and be powerful learners. Maybe you want them to know that the Crows is the best footy team in the land, or the Power, and if you're in the Nicola family, I don't know how you work that out for Abigail. Now, those are all, or at least mostly, really good things. But the psalmist here, Asaph, has something else in mind, something that he sees as even more important. He suggests that above and beyond all those things is God. As the reading from Deuteronomy said, God is the one that we are to love with all our heart and all our soul and all our strength. God is the one ultimate reality, the source of life and the goal of life. Everything else comes from him. Everything else is for him. He's the one who defines us. He's the one who truly shows us how to live. God is the center of the universe, and so we want him to be the center of our families and the center of our church. So we need to tell them about God. If we're going to do that, then we're going to secondly need to teach them the Bible. Because God has revealed himself. He has acted in history and seen that those acts are recorded in his word. He's given his people teachings, and he's commanded his people to teach those teachings to their children. So in passing on the truth about God, we don't have to work out what that truth is for ourselves. We're not just teaching our own ideas about God. No, we're teaching God's ideas about God, teaching what he has revealed about himself. For Abby and for all our kids, we want them to know this book. We want them to know its story. We want them to know what it teaches, what it says. We want them to be more familiar with the Bible than any other book. As Deuteronomy says, we're to impress these teachings on our children, to talk about them when we sit, when we walk, when we lie down, when we get up. We want our families and church to be saturated in the Word of God. So Mark and Holly, part of your job as parents is to read to Abigail from this book. May there never be a day when she doesn't remember opening the Bible and enjoying what is taught there. May she grow up immersed in its story and in love with its author. But thirdly, as we teach our kids the truth about God that he's revealed in the Bible, we need to make sure we're not just teaching the stories, but we're teaching their meaning. In Psalm 78, Asaph says in verse 2, "I'll open my mouth with a parable. I'll utter hidden things, things from of old." It sounds like he's going to reveal something that we don't yet know, something hidden. But then he goes on in verse 3 and says, "These things are the things we've heard and known, things our ancestors have told us." If we had read on the rest of the psalm, it's a very long psalm, but it's basically telling the story of God's people, Israel, and particularly the story of the Exodus, how God rescued his people from slavery in Egypt, brought them through the wilderness to the promised land of Canaan. Now that is a story they would have been really, really familiar with. But Asaph doesn't just retell the story, he also draws out its meaning. And the meaning that he draws out particularly is grace. Grace. The undeserved kindness of God. The God revealed in Psalm 78, in this story of God's people, is a God of grace. The story is of how the Israelites, God's people, repeatedly fail. They forget about God, they ignore him, they put him to the test, they complain against him, they fail to trust him and obey him. And yet God repeatedly shows them patience. He repeatedly shows them mercy. He forgives them. He cares for them. He provides for them. He rescues them. Again and again and again, he reveals himself as a God of grace. And that little bit of the story really mirrors the whole story of the Bible. Because the Bible tells us that humanity's story is one of repeated failure. Humanity continually fails to love God as he deserves, to honor him, to trust him, to obey him. And yet God continues to be gracious and merciful and faithful. God's grace reaches its climax in the person of the Lord Jesus, who came and lived as one of us, lived the life that none of us could live, and then died the death that all of us deserve to die, so that any of us who come to him in faith can receive God's grace and forgiveness and new life. The most famous verse in the Bible sums it up. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world, so loved the people who repeatedly rejected him, that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." So as we pass on the truth about God to the next generation, we don't just want them to know the stories. We don't just want them to be able to recite a string of memory verses. No, we want them to know the meaning. Ultimately, we want them to grasp God's grace. Fourthly, as we pass on the truth about God, we need to pray for trust and obedience. Look again at verse 5. God decreed statutes for Jacob, established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born. And they in turn would tell their children, then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. Our aim as we pass on the truth about God is not just that our kids know about God, but that they know him. As Holly was saying earlier, that journey from head to heart, one of the longest journeys the soul takes, we want them to have that personal relationship with God that Holly spoke of. We want our kids to know God as Savior, so they trust him. We want them to know God as their Lord, so they obey him and keep his commands. We want our kids to be true disciples who trust and obey the Lord Jesus. We want them to do what we've prayed for Abby this morning, to fight the good fight, to finish the race, to keep the faith, to shine as a light in the world to the glory of God the Father. Now, we can't control that. We can't make our kids trust and obey Jesus. We can't make anyone do that. It comes from the heart. It's God's work. But God works through the prayerful teaching and nurturing of his people. So we want to pass on the truth about God to our kids and pray that God will enable them to trust and obey. Finally, as we do all this, we need to look to the generations to come. We're thinking about teaching the next generation. Asaph's view goes way beyond that. Did you spot it? Look again at verse 5. He says, God commanded our ancestors to teach their children so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Asaph seems to have three or even four generations in mind. I don't know about you, I don't often think like that. I don't often think beyond my own kids. Sometimes I think about their kids. Rarely, if ever, do I think about the next generation and beyond. But this psalm calls us to broaden our horizon and to lengthen our gaze. And if we do that, then we'll aim to teach our kids in a way that they can be teachers themselves. We won't just be thinking about passing on the baton to them, but passing it on in such a way that they can pass it on, and so on, down the generations. It's the same in our work of disciple making, isn't it? We don't just want to make converts so that it ends there. We want to make disciples who make disciples. We're looking for multiplication. We want to be part of a disciple making movement. So with our kids, we want to build a godly legacy for the generations to come. If you're married, if you've got kids of your own, just think for a moment about your family and think about the generations to come. Just think about the kind of legacy that you would like to build under God. Jonathan Edwards was a pastor in the US in the 1700s. He and his wife Sarah had 11 kids, so they were off to a flying start. But 150 years after his death, someone set out to trace all of his descendants over the generations. What they discovered is amazing. Jonathan Edwards' legacy includes one US vice president. Now, you might not think that's a particularly praiseworthy thing, but anyway, one US vice president, three US senators, three governors, three mayors, 13 college presidents, 30 judges, 65 professors, 80 public office holders, 100 lawyers, and 100 missionaries. As we think about investing in the next generation, let's lift our eyes and look to the generations to come. What will be the legacy of our families? What will be the legacy of this church family? Let's be a community that passes on the baton so that the children yet to be born will know the Lord and will be able to tell their children the praiseworthy deeds that he has done. And as we do that, we'll be working toward the day when the knowledge of the glory of the Lord covers the earth as the waters cover the sea. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for those people who've passed the baton on to us. And we pray that you would help us to be faithful in passing the baton on to others. Especially we pray that you'd enable us to be faithful in teaching and nurturing and encouraging our children so that they in turn would teach and nurture their kids and the generations to come. So that this city, this nation, this world might be filled with the knowledge of your glory, that more and more people might know you and your love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.